Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Time now for our latest installment of our occasional food series, Farm to Fork.
Is that radishes over there?
Really great for a salad.
Cooking really, I've been on high heat. I mean, this is from farm to the fork.
With Tremont 647 chef and owner Andy Husbands, we take you into the farm, fields, and markets to search for the best ingredients New England has to offer.
Then we head into the kitchen with Andy to cook up a dish and post the recipe online.
Recently, my co-host Meghna Chakrabarty traveled to Topsfield, Massachusetts, where since 1998, Peter and Elizabeth Mulholland have been running Valley View Farmstead Cheeses on Elizabeth's family farm.
Spring is a busy time for the Mulhollands, with trees to tap, cheese to make, and lots of goats giving birth. It might sound like the idyllic country life, but it's hard work.
Actually, make sure there's no babies being born. I think I have three more due right now.
That's one of them, so she's clearly not in labor.
Hey. Hi, girls.
Wow.
This goat is named This Girl Is On Fire.
How do you know all their names? It's incredible.
They're my babies. I have bottle fed every one of them. This is Ride Sally Ride, daughter of Mustang Sally, daughter of Sally the First. She hasn't had her... Neither of these have had their babies yet. This one had a baby yesterday.
I'm Elizabeth Mulholland, and let's see, my role is pretty much manager of everyone and everything.
My name is Peter Mulholland. I'm one of the co-owners of Valley View Farm here in Topsfield. I went to bed at midnight because of the maple sugaring, and then Liz checked in on the goats on her cell phone in bed, and she knocks me at 2 and says, the one's delivering, let's go. So then we were up from 2 to 3:30. I think two kidded.
Two kidded
so from 1 to 3:30, and then from 3:30 get up at 6 o'clock to get the kids to school and start milking for the day. So it starts off, you know, we have, you know, these. Yeah, the real kids. Yeah, the big kids. That's exactly right. Yeah, so it's a busy time of the year, but it's also March, you know, February and March, it's dark and there isn't much going on, and you sitting and watching the Bruins or whatever, and then March really just kind of, it just all starts between tapping trees and all the kidding that starts, and then the milking, and it just gets really busy, and then there isn't a tremendous amount of margin in a small-scale farm operation, so I still work full-time off the farm. So if we go in the barn, we can see all the... Yeah, right now this group of goats is probably anywhere from a week to 3 weeks old.
Look at the baby goats.
This group is fed probably 3 times per day.
So these are all girls. Notice their pink collars.
A little further down in the barn, we have an insulated room in the barn that's heated. And we can take a look. There's some brand new babies that were born over the past 2 days. You can see how small they are.
My little babies. So these are, they're 2 days old?
Yeah.
I know, you're so brand new. This is their first day really out in the barn. They've been in the house for a few days. So we're toughening them up. Right.
So can you just tell us a little bit more about the breed? You said they're Anglo-Nubians?
Yeah, the Anglo-Nubians. So they're a breed that was developed in the 19th century, part Mediterranean, that's the Nubian side, so Mediterranean, Egyptian, that area, and that brought the long, floppy ears.
I was going to say they've got those lovely long ears.
Long, ears, and this kind of a Roman-shaped nose, a curved nose, which my son, my almost 16-year-old son, tells me because in the more desert, arid countries, you want to have it's their nasal passage that allows them to filter out the sand and such and such, and just like elephants that have big ears, it helps cool them, keep them cool. So we assume that when the British sort of colonized or imperialized like Egypt, they brought the Nubian back to England and mixed it with a milking goat from England and did this cross. So they get the characteristics and the looks of the Mediterranean goat, but with the dairy characteristics of the English breed.
I see.
So that's why they're called Anglo-Nubian. Nubians come in all different color schemes and patterns, so that it's like Christmas every time one's born. It's like, oh, what are we going to get? Whereas other breeds are more uniform in their look. So I find it a little more interesting from that perspective. But it also makes it harder to decide who to keep.
Right.
Because you tend to look for the flashy goat or the, you know, the patterns, as opposed to trying to stick with production of the mother and those characteristics. So we have to work really hard and be very disciplined to not just pick on cuteness factor. We always have people buy them in pairs because goats are herd animals and need someone or they are not happy.
Yeah.
We always make sure that folks that are getting them understand the requirements in terms of fencing and housing, and you know, it's not a dog, and make sure they're going to a good home. So sometimes people are getting them as just a couple of pets to have in their home farm, or companions to horses. People who have their kids in 4-H, other people who are starting their own dairies, or just people who have big dairies and want to bring in different stock. Every year I'm like, how am I going to sell off 90 animals? But it always seems to work. It's, as Peter said, that there's this trend of people wanting to have their own little piece of America dream of their farms. Well, we kept our first two, Charlotte and Emily. We definitely kept them in the house for a long time. And there's pictures of us laying on the couch with our babies. This was 21 years ago, so.
Look what your idealism got you, though.
I can't believe 20 years have gone by. It's crazy.
The average person owns, or attempts to, when they try to get into the little micro dairy business or even raising animals, the average is about 5 years. It's not that long.
They're able to stay in the business before they give up.
You know, the idea, as soon as you get more and more animals, you know, you're kind of pressing the envelope with your neighbors and friends about if you want to go on a week's vacation to Florida.
Right.
So I think Liz and I, we went away on our honeymoon to Scotland.
That was in 1995.
That was the last time we traveled anywhere. We're standing in the room, what's called the milk room. This is where it's stored. This is a 100-gallon tank. But if we actually take a little sample here just to try some of the raw milk, like that, we're just sanitized.
I'm so excited.
And if you think about the flavor of it,
I mean, light butter, light sweet. Cream, yeah, it's sweet.
Yeah.
Flavor of the Nubian does get more complex through the
year.
And
I get a little hay. Like right now, I'm getting a little bit of hay in the back of my palate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This wonderful, like, real flavor of farm.
But we were going to try the Chev first, right?
We can spread that on a baguette.
So what'd you bring, Andy? You've got some stuff here.
Because I haven't had their cheeses yet, and I'm very excited. It was a lot of thought I was put into it because... What I would suggest is we just try it plain.
Good cheese needs nothing.
Good
right?
cheese, that's all we need. But because we're coming into spring, I thought I did some bourbon macerated strawberries, which with a little bit of local honey, I thought would be fun. And then last year, I actually happened to pickle some peaches in August.
Huh.
So these are pickled peaches from last August, which might go better with the tome, I'm not sure. But I mean, these are pretty intense, so I say we just try the cheeses
Let's
plain.
Let's do it. The creaminess of it is so good.
I mean, the only thing I can say is farm fresh. You can tell you're at the acidity, but you still get the little farm flavor.
Andy just handed me some of the Chev with you said bourbon macerated strawberries?
Amazing.
Oh my, it's like dessert. It's like the most beautiful dessert.
Yeah. All together.
Yeah. The strawberries, bullet bourbon, and a little bit of local honey. I'll just let this sit overnight.
Well, thank you so much for having us
You're welcome.
Here and just showing the care and attention and skill and quality that you put into not just raising your goats, but the amazing cheese that comes out the other end of this process. It's just been such a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Glad it worked.
Yeah, thanks for coming out.
For photos of the goats at Valley View Farmstead Cheeses and for Andy Husband's recipes, you can go to our website, radioboston.org.
I'm going to leave the city, got to get away. I'm going to leave the city, got to get away. All this fussing and fighting, man, you know I sure can't.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Doug Tribune.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.